We are so excited to have our lesson tonight on omniscience of God. It's so interesting and fun to think of the smartest person that you know. In fact, I think I remember Susan telling me that towards the beginning, she's going to pass out a little IQ test. You know, she feels like we need to first just establish the smartest person in this room. She'll take that and explain it. All right. She picked all these out, right? I think she picked these songs out. This is interesting. Oh, My God and I, she said, I love that song. And she said, I particularly love the harmony of women's voices. And all three of these, I think, will sort of feel that and sense it. So let's sing together as we worship our God, thinking about His omniscience.
My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our
God is his own interpreter. Beautiful, ladies. Beautiful.
Before I ask her to come up, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Susan. She and David have been married for 36 years. They grew up in neighboring towns in northwest Oklahoma, David in Shattuck and Susan in Gage. David has a bachelor in physiology.
Did I say psychology? That? Yeah.
Psychology.
Yeah. Has a bachelor's in psychology.
A bachelor in psychology, master of education in gerontology, and a degree in physical therapy.
Yeah.
He works for St. Anthony's, mainly with athletes.
Yes.
So what are you pitching here? What's
Pitching Works is where he works right now.
Oh, Pitching Works. Mainly working for, okay. Susan has a Master of Science in Horticulture from OSU, and she works part-time for TLC on that one on Memorial in the greenhouse. And they've traveled around Oklahoma, but never outside of state for David's job. They've been at Memorial Road since 2005, and they attend the international class. They have three grown children that are all married, Landon, Andrea, and Logan. Landon and Landon and Lisa live in Saginaw, Texas. That's northwest of Fort Worth. Andrea and Tyler live in Edmond, and Logan and Emerson live in Edmond. The favorite part of her job at TLC is helping people spend their money on plants. And she also loves opening boxes full of new plants we receive from wholesale nurseries to sell. And I will tell you, Susan knows her plants. She's given me some good advice. And so I'm going to turn it over to her. She's going to talk to us about omniscient. God is omniscient, the God of infinite knowledge. Here you go, Susan.
Okay, I will tell you I'm a little bit nervous. I really prefer sitting around a circle with my Bible in my lap. So this is a little bit outside my comfort zone. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit more about me. Here's my family with all my kids at my house. These are some of my plants that I have. It might be close to a hoarding situation. I'm not sure. I always tell people I like to be able to tell them exactly how plants grow because I have some at my house and I know what to do. So, and the other thing that I spend a lot of my time doing is I love the Bible and I love God's Word. I don't understand it all, and you'll be able to tell that for sure when I get to talking, but I love to study the Bible. So first thing, I would just like to say a prayer for us tonight. Almighty God, holy is your name. Help us to do your will because we know that you have all the knowledge. God, as Daniel said, you are the giver of wisdom. You make us wise in all your ways. You give knowledge to the discerning, and you reveal deep and hidden things. I know light dwells in you, God, and you can show us what lies in the darkness. So, God, I pray tonight, since you know each one of us, that you will use your words and your spirit to help us understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I picked out this topic. When Barbara asked me to speak, this is one of the topics that I picked out, and not because I feel like I'm very confident in knowing what all this means. It's the opposite. I know who knows what it means. So both of these definitions describe God. Omniscient is an adjective. It's possessing total infinite awareness, knowledge, understanding, and insight. Omniscience is a noun. It's a state. It's a quality state of being omniscient, the ability to know everything, knowledge, and science. And it's an abstract quality of God. So usually omniscience you see only when referring to God. So that's a lot of big words, I feel like, and a lot of abstract things that may not help us to understand very well. So one thing that I thought that was really helpful to me when I started studying this was to say what it's not. So that means God never learns. He's never surprised. He never discovers. He never wonders how we're going to react in a situation. He never receives counsel from anyone. And God is never fooled by our thoughts or behavior. So that's kind of heavy too. But the next one is we all desire to have knowledge. And that's because we want meaning, purpose in our lives. We want to make sense of what's going on in our life. Knowledge gives us influence, credibility, and it can give us power. And so there's two ways that we can try to gain knowledge. The first way I'm going to talk to you about is in Genesis 3:6, was in the garden. So God put man in the garden, and he gave them the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, don't eat of that one. But when Eve saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate. So there was a choice there in the garden. Instead of doing what God had asked and doing it how he had asked, they decided to do the other. So we all have two choices. So, let's see. Okay, so here are some of the smartest people I thought of. And you guys may think of other people. But, so one of them I thought was, you know, Albert Einstein. I thought he is very, very smart. He was a theoretical physicist, best known for developing the theory of relativity and the theory of quantum mechanics, which I don't even know what all that means. Another person that I thought of was Isaac Newton, a physicist, a mathematician, an astronomer. He formulated the laws of motion and the groundwork for classical mechanics. The other one I thought of was Galileo. He's an astronomer, a physicist, another mathematician. He did the advancement of the telescope and did the heliocentric model of the solar system. So all of these men are super smart, way smarter than anything that I know about at all. Can you guys think of any other people that you would think that would be super intelligent or have a lot of intelligence?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. Okay, that's good. Elon Musk. Anybody else want to chime in there? Steve Jobs, okay. Yeah, so there's so many people that have so much knowledge, but all of that knowledge is limited. It's not even comparable to God's knowledge. It's just a small, small part. So these are some of the things that I want to have knowledge of. So unlike the previous people in the slide before, I am horrible at math, terrible. I don't want to tell you what I got on my ACT in math because it's so embarrassing. I don't understand it, but I would like to understand it. I don't understand why we have ticks. So I am not afraid of most insects. I've had lots of entomology classes at OSU, but I'm not really afraid of spiders. Like, my daughter's terrified of spiders. I'm not really afraid of spiders, but one thing that I do not like is ticks, and obviously because they bring lots of diseases and everything, and I don't understand. Maybe God had them to feed the wild turkey and the lizards, you know, I don't know. Another thing, I love horticulture, so I love I love getting on YouTube and learning about stuff. I love doing it myself and trying to learn what plants do and why. But the top picture is a dogwood tree that's about 40 years old. I live in an older house. It's about 40 years old. It's planted on the north side of my house. It's not typically a plant you plant in Oklahoma. If you go to TLC, you can find them, but it's not one that we recommend a lot. It's dying, and I've done everything I, in my limited, finite knowledge, know what to do, and it's still dying. I still don't know why. I've fertilized it. I've given it insecticide. I've given it chelated iron, and it's still not happy, so I'm probably going to have to take it out, which makes me sad. Another thing about horticulture that I know pieces of is the three bottom plants that you see. All plants have a first and a last name, which is called genus and species. And so all of these have the same first name. It's called Euphorbia. So the one that looks like a weed, it is a weed. It's called spurge, and it's Euphorbia prostrata, and you probably picked it out of your garden, out of the sidewalks and cracks. It has kind of a milky substance when you pull it out. The next one, the taller plant, is Euphorbia lactea, and it's called dragon bones. That's the common name, but Euphorbia lactea is a genus and species. I have one of these that I was gifted by Steve when Beth Walker passed away, and I love it. The bottom one is also a Euphorbia, and that is the poinsettia. It's Euphorbia pulmicera. So when you look at those plants, you would never think, oh, these all go together, other than they have a milky white substance that when you poke it, it will bleed a little bit. There's over 2,000 different kinds of euphorbias. So it's impossible to know everything. And that we're just talking about one genus out of all the plants in the world. So definitely that is something I would like to know. And I study, but I cannot fully get there. Another thing I thought about when I was preparing this lesson was my oldest son he was with Coach Heath on the track team, and he ran the hurdles for OC, 400 hurdles. He ended up winning nationals, which was incredible. But way he started out, I wish I would have put a picture up here, but it's incomprehensible. It really was. And I remember the first day that he ran the hurdles, I thought, God, there's just no way that he's going to be able to do that. He's not coordinated. He weighed about 80 pounds, and he was 5'8". And I was thinking, I don't know how you can do this. But God did. He did. He took him to, it was a lot of hard work on his part too, but that definitely was one thing that I was thinking about. The other thing is why friends and family get sick and suffer. This is a really difficult one for lots of us, I know. My youngest son has a lot of autoimmune diseases, and it has been really hard to watch him suffer through some of the things that he's had to go through. So those are the things that I would like to know more about. So, the question is, can we gain knowledge without God? We can try. We definitely can try. But it only leads to anxiety, weariness, and sin. So, one of the parts that Jen Wilkin brought up in her book, she was talking about the iPhone. And she had this quote, "The iPhone, or information phone, increases unhealthy interest of others, stokes the flames of our self-reliance to forward our own interest." And I thought, that's so true. So the iPhone can be used in an unhealthy way. It can also be used in a healthy way. But it definitely can cause more problems because we have so much knowledge at our fingertips that I think in past generations that just wasn't possible. It made me think of this Bible verse in Ecclesiastes 12:11-12. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them, of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Which is so true. It is so true. When you really study a lot about things that you may not have complete knowledge about, it very much wearies you. And so the first part of the verse, I think, is also very poignant, because if the wise words that are given by our shepherd are not like that. So, and then my picture is just to show you what a goad looks like in case you don't know. It's a little pointed stick that you poke oxen or cattle with. So just in case that didn't make sense. Okay, so this slide, I know I have a lot of information here, and I hope that this will make sense. It makes perfect sense in my mind, and I hope God will let me get this out to impart this, what I was thinking. We know that we just have partial knowledge. God has all the knowledge, but we only have some of it. So if we work really hard to gain knowledge, is that really going to give us what we desire? So let's go back to the garden and think about what happened in the Garden of Eden. So God put man in the garden, and he put him there to work the garden, to take care of it, how he wanted them to take care of it. In chapter 2, verse 16, God told them, Adam, that he was free to eat of any tree, but was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or he would surely die. And then chapter 3, Satan enters the picture. So when Satan enters the picture, he says in verse 4, did God really say that? Is that really what he says? So he puts doubt in there of not trusting God that he can give Adam and Eve all the knowledge that they need. And he says this, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So their eyes were opened, but it pulled them away from God. So the eyes of them were both opened and they realized they were naked. So instead of them giving them knowledge that they thought that they were going to get by doing it their own way, by doing it a shortcut, it gave them the opposite. And so I just thought of, this is all over the Bible. So the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11:4, where they say, come, let us build ourselves a city so that we can make a name for ourselves. We're not going to rely on God. We're going to make a name for our own self. We're not going to rely on his wisdom. It's all over Judges, like from beginning to the end. But at the very end of Judges, it says, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. And I thought that was so, that's so true. That's what happens when we try to have our own knowledge. And then in Romans chapter 1:21, it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him or gave thanks to him. And they claimed to be wise, but they were fools. And I feel like this is exactly what was happening to Job. So Job had all of these really hard things that he didn't understand, that he was asking God, I don't know why this is happening. What is going on here? I don't want to do this. These are really hard, difficult things. And God answers him in chapter 38. That whole part is so very good, but we don't have time to read all of that. But God answers him and says, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." And the answer is obvious. Job didn't understand. He didn't know how God did those things, because God is the one that has all the knowledge. So then God goes on down and he says, "Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind?" Again, the answer is God. Chapter 40, verse 9, he asks, "Do you have an arm like God's, or can you thunder, or can your voice thunder like his?" And then in verse 14, "Then I myself will admit that your own right hand can save you." So he's saying to Job, if you can figure out all of this and have all of this knowledge and know how this all works out, then I will admit that you can save yourself. So that brings a point to God has all the knowledge and he is omniscient. God knows all things, not because he learned them, but because he is their origin. And I thought that was a very good quote from Jen Wilkin. That made me think of several verses. And I know I'm throwing a lot of verses out you because I just feel like God's word makes so much more sense than whatever I'm going to say. So this verse made me think of Isaiah 40, 13 through 14 and verse 25. And it says, "Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, or who has taught him the right way? Who is it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal?" says the Holy One. And then Romans 11, 33 through 36. "Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Okay, so we know that God has the knowledge. We know that he is omniscient, but he also knows us completely. And this is what it says in Psalms 139, 1 through 6. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word was on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me and too lofty for me to attain." So in some ways, that's kind of scary, right? Because we serve a God who knows every thought we have. He knows the evil things that we think. And the times we mess up, when we can not let other people know that, we can keep all of that secret, but he knows that. But in so many ways, it's such a comfort because he knows that we need saving, and he saved us. So that brought me to this slide. God knows that we need saving, and he made a way for us to be saved. Isaiah 51, 4 and 5. "Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me, and my justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. My arm will bring justice to the nations." So this is something he prophesied long before Jesus came to the earth. Psalms 118, 20 through 24. Which is something that they probably read during Passover week, and probably something that Jesus sang a song or hymn or read right before he went to the cross. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation, which in Hebrew means Yeshua, which is Jesus' name. The stone the builders rejected have become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then you go to the New Testament, where it's been fulfilled, Romans 5, 8, and 10. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more will we be reconciled and shall we be saved through his life? 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against us. So we know that God knows what we think. He knows that we need saving. He had all of that knowledge, and he made it a way for us to be saved. So if we know all of that, we know that God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows that we need saving. He knows what we think. He knows how we feel. What does that mean that we should do? And these are some of the things I thought about. So Matthew 7, 7 through 8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. That's reiterated in James 1, 5 through 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, because he gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when you ask, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And that made me think of when Peter got out of the boat. So he sees God. He sees that his knowledge and his power to control everything. He's walking on the water in Matthew 14, 22 through 44. He sees it and he says, God, Jesus, I want to come to you. And Jesus tells him, come. And so he starts. And whenever he looks around and he doesn't fully think that God has the power to save him, even in that, then he starts to sink. And that's why I think Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He's like, please trust me. So that's the other thing that we have to do. Because God has all the knowledge and all the wisdom, when we ask him, we have to trust that he will take care of us, that he knows how to do it. And that is what's said in 2 Peter 1 through 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So that makes me feel so good. It's like he's given it to us. He will give it to us. So just trust him. I'm not going to read all of this probably, these are just some of the things I thought about. When we ask God for wisdom, we ask God for knowledge, we ask him for his knowledge and the way to do things his way, how will we find him? What will it look like? And these are some of the things that I thought about was nature. Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. So definitely, that's one way that we can see God, through hardships, which is not a fun one. Hebrews 12, 7 and 11, it says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. So no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but for those who are trained by it, it's very good. And I think of my son my youngest son, who I mentioned has had some autoimmune problems, he was definitely, it was very, very difficult for him and still is. It's still ongoing. He'll never get completely away from it. But I can see how God used that to bring him to the man that he wanted him to be. And I think without it, he wouldn't have been that. Even though I don't really like to go back to the part where it's very difficult and we didn't know what was going on and he was very sick, I don't like to think about that. And I don't really like to think about maybe what may happen in the future. And I don't know. But I do know that it's pulled him closer to God. And I'm very thankful for it. That makes me think of Isaiah 30, where it says, O people of Zion, you who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears you, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. And I love that, because it's like, that is so true. Another way I was thinking about how God would give us wisdom and what that would look like is his word, that we are so, it is so good that we have. So many generations did not have it like we have it. We can have it in a book like this. You can have it on your iPhone, in a Bible app. You can watch YouTubes over it of people talking about it, which is amazing, I think. And so I was thinking of that. And I was also thinking, you know, in John 1:14, where John is saying, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's not just words on a page, but it's here in our heart. It's living. It's active. It's not just in this book. I was also thinking about love. So Jesus says that as I have loved you, you must love one another. And by this, you will know, people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I think that's so true. So we can get wisdom from God and from others because of the love that we have for each other. And I'm going to go ahead and skip the next one. So one thing I was thinking about, that when I was thinking about all of this knowledge and wisdom that God has, we have to trust God that he is going to give us a way to know him. And I love this chapter in Luke, and the very end of it, it was talking about fathers giving gifts to their children, and you know, it says, you know, if your son asked for a fish, you would never give him a snake. And then he ends this with this: if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So the answer is going to be yes. When we ask him, when we trust him, when we ask him for knowledge, the answer will always be yes. He will give it to us because he has said he would. And then I'm going to go to the bottom there, just an example from my life. A few years ago when my oldest son was getting ready to be married, I got a letter in the mail. And it was jury duty. And I was like, oh, not now. I don't want to do it now. It was 2 weeks before he was getting married. And I'm like, oh, I'm going. And I'm telling him, I can't do this because I have things to do. I cannot be on this jury. I can't do it. So I went, and there were so many people in the courtroom when you went in the bottom part. I was like, there's no way I'm going to get picked. I'm not going to get picked. So I went through that part, and they made us go up to the courtroom. So I made it through that level, and I was like, okay. And when you walk in there, they tell you what, you're not supposed to have your cell phone out, you're not supposed to do certain things. Well, I did what they said, And my youngest son was like, Mom, that's why they picked you. I was like, well, it said not to. Anyway, so I was like, there's no way I'm going to make it, but I did. I made it to the next cut where they're asking you all these questions. And they started asking all these questions about especially guns. And I'm like, I don't like guns. I don't have any, and I don't want to because they terrify me. I don't know how to use it. So, and I kept thinking, I'm going to get off here. But no, again, I was one of the ones that was picked for the 12 people that sat on the jury. So right after that, we found out what we were going to be deciding. And even then, I was more scared because it was a murder trial. And I was like, ugh, I don't want to do this, God. I don't feel confident or capable of doing any of this. And this really terrifies me. And so we went through all of the trial and them telling us all of the facts, and it was pretty apparent that this person had done what she was being tried for. And the night before we were supposed to decide, I was like, I don't want to be in this position. I don't want to decide this. Because my heart just ached for them. I just couldn't hardly stand it. And the whole night, I couldn't sleep. And I'm praying, and I'm saying, God, I don't know why you would pick me, why I would be on this. I'm not capable. And I just kept mulling it over and over and over again. And so about probably 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I decided, okay, I'm not going to sleep. So I'm going to play, which I do sometimes when I have anxiety, because I have some. I'm just going to play my Bible Gateway, and it reads verses to you. And that always helps me when I hear God's words. It makes me very calm. And so I tried to play Psalms, and I did it 3 times, and it wouldn't start. And I'd never had problems with it. And I was like, why won't this work? And Zechariah kept coming up. And I'm like, I don't want to listen to Zechariah. I don't want to hear that. But I finally, on the 3rd time, I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to Zechariah. This was one of the verses that it talked about. It said, don't be afraid. Speak truth to each other. Render true and sound judgments in your courts. And I thought, okay, thank you, God. So I went to sleep for a few hours. I woke up in the morning and went back, and we made the decision. So that was one thing that happened in my life that I think. So I know when we ask God for wisdom, who has all of the power, all of the knowledge, everything, he's going to give it to us because he wants us to trust him. So these are a couple of things that I pray, especially at night when I have anxiety going through my mind. My mind will not shut up, and I just want it to be quiet. I've just learned that it's usually best to just repeat God's words back to him, because that always helps me. So the first one is from Psalms. And it says, teach us to number our days aright, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, so that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we've seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servant, and your splendor to their children. And then the next verse I thought about was out of Ephesians, and I'll only read part of it. But this is such a good prayer that I think Paul praise for people. And that's what my prayer for us is, as a group of women and a body of believers, is this. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that that your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. And so I would pray that for us too, that because God has all of his omniscience and he knows what's best for us in every possible way of our lives, that we draw close to him in every way that we can.
Wow, Susan, that was wonderful. That was more than fine. I didn't want to put pressure on her, and I thought she'd do fine. Did she do fine? Mighty fine. Mighty fine. And what I love about what you shared with us, and you could see how much you value God's Word and how you embrace it in the way you live your life. And how God has blessed you because of that. And I love how you shared God's word with us tonight. And it reminded us of what an amazing God, what a loving God, what an omniscient God we have. He knows us so well, and we are blessed when we get to the point we know him better. And you've helped us know him better tonight. And so thank you so very, very much. Does anybody have any questions or any comments before we close tonight? I think you said it all, because...
Absolutely.
No, but you've pointed us to where all the knowledge is. And we appreciate that. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you know us so well. In fact, we know that you made us, and that you made us with a purpose and a role and a place, Father, in your will. We pray, Father, that we may go on that journey of understanding your will better by studying your word. And we pray that you would reveal your wisdom to us and help us to realize your presence in our lives and to seek wisdom, Father, through you, knowing that we'll be blessed by that. Bless Susan, Father. Bless us all. And help us, Father, to live out the purpose you have for each one of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.